जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवराधारी जय गिरिवराधारी जय यशोदानंदना जय व्रज जनरंजन जय व्रज जनरंजन जय यमुना तीरावनचारी जय कुंज विहारी जय यमुना तीरावनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. जय राधा कालचंडी राधा कालचंडी राधा कालचंडी राधे जय गौरानीताय 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 जय गौरानीताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text 35. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ahimsa Satyam Asteyam, Ashango Hrir Asanchaya, Astikyam Brahmacharyam Cha, मौनं स्थैर्यं क्षमां भयम् श्रीभगवानुवाच अहिंसा सत्यमास्तेयम् अशाङ्गो ह्रीरसंशय आस्तिक्यं ब्रह्मचार्यं च मौनं स्थैर्यं क्षमा भयम् श्री भगवान उवाच अहिंसा सत्यम् अस्तेयम् असंगो हिरसंचय आस्तिक्यं ब्रह्मचार्यं च मौनं स्थैर्यं क्षमाभयम् श्री भगवान उवाच अहिंसा सत्यमास्तेयम् अशाङ्गो ह्रीरसंशय आस्तिक्यं ब्रह्मचार्यं च मौनं स्थैर्यं क्षमाभयम् श्रीभगवानुवाच अहिंसा सत्यमस्तेयम् असङ्गो ह्रीरसंचय ఆస్తిక్యం బ్రహ్మచార్యం చ మౌనం స్థైర్యం క్షమాభయం. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ అహింసా సత్యమస్తేయం అసంగో హిరసంచయ ఆస్తిక్యం బ్రహ్మచార్యం చ మౌనం స్థైర్యం క్షమాభయం. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ అహింసా సత్యమస్తేయం అసంగో హ్రీర్ సంశయ ఆస్తిక్యం బ్రహ్మచార్యం చ మౌనం స్థైర్యం స్తమాభయం. I'll read the other two verses also which are not mentioned, 33 to 35. Saucham japastapo homa shraddhatiyam archaram tithartanam pararthetha tushtir acharya sevanam ete yamasa niyama ubhayor dvadasa samrita pumsam upasitastata yathakamam duhantihi. Transliteration. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ. ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ సెడ్, అహింస నాన్ వయలెన్స్, సత్యం ట్రూత్ఫుల్నెస్, అస్తేయం నెవర్ కవెటింగ్ ఆర్ స్టీలింగ్ ద ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ అదర్స్, అసంగ డిటాచ్మెంట్, హ్రీహి హ్యూమిలిటీ, అసంచయ బీయింగ్ నాన్ పొజెసివ్, అస్తిక్యం ట్రస్ట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ రిలిజన్, బ్రహ్మచర్యం సెలిబసీ చ ఆల్సో మౌనం సైలెన్స్, స్థైర్యం స్టెడీనెస్, క్షమ ఫర్గివింగ్, అభయం ఫియర్లెస్, శౌచం internal and external cleanliness, japaha chanting the holy names of the Lord, tapaha austerity, homa sacrifice, shraddha faith, atithyam hospitality, mat archanam worship of me, teertha atanam visiting holy places, para artha iha acting and desiring for the supreme, tushtihi satisfaction, acharya sevanam serving the spiritual master, ete these yamaha disciplinary principles, sa niyamaha along with secondary regular duties, ఉభయో ఆఫ్ ఈచ్ ద్వాదశ 12 సమృత ఆర్ అండర్స్టూడ్, పుంసాం ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్, ఉపాసిత బీయింగ్ కల్టివేటెడ్ విత్ డివోషన్, తత మై డియర్ ఉద్ధవ యథాకామం అకార్డింగ్ టు వన్స్ డిజైర్, దుహంతి they supply, he indeed. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, non-violence, truthfulness, not coveting or stealing the property of others, detachment, humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion, celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness and fearlessness are the 12 primary disciplinary principles. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness, chanting the holy names of the Lord, austerity, sacrifice, faith, hospitality, worship of me, visiting holy places, acting and desiring only for the supreme interest, satisfaction and service to the spiritual master are the 12 elements of regular prescribed duties. These 24 elements below bestow all desired benedictions upon those persons who are devotedly cultivate them. So, in context to the previous verse, actually, Sri Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, answers the questions, because Uddhava asks actually in the previous two verses, what are the actual principles? What kind of qualities a person should have? What should one follow? So, in response to this question, Krishna actually answers back to Uddhava that non-violence, truthfulness, non-coveting of property, humility. Now, if you look at this from Bhagavad Gita, even in the 15th chapter, actually, Lord Krishna actually, 16th chapter, in the divine and demonic natures, actually Bhagavan answers, right? Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Ubhayam Sattva Samsuddhir, Jnana Yoga Vyavastitha, Danam Damascha Yagnascha, Swadhyayas Tabarjavam. So Lord goes there, also describes the same qualities which he is kind of prescribing here, which he told to Arjuna before, non-violence, humility, freedom from possessiveness. Now, if we look at the origin, in order for a Jivatma to have all these qualities, they actually have to originate from somewhere, right? It may be present, it may be dormant inside. But in order to first understand these, one must first understand where is the origin of all these qualities coming from. It is coming from Bhagavan himself. He is the reservoir of all good qualities. Kalyana guna gunam. So he is actually having all these qualities already inside him. And through his taking avataram, incarnations, or through spiritual master coming and advising us, actually all these qualities are advised how to follow, they are demonstrated how to follow. Because as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when he takes avataram, he sets the standard for people, right? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkrinatatam. But other than that, also to propagate the principles, actually. So when Lord Rama was present, Lord Krishna was present, they also followed also all these principles, actually. And they showed this. So in each and every one of them, we can see the essence of how Lord himself personally cares for the Jivatmas. It is not like if one reads this verse and says, I have to become cleanliness, internal and external, you know, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came to actually demonstrate in Kali Yuga how we should chant, how we must perform Yuga Dharma Sankirtanam, right? So he himself is demonstrating to us whether we can do japa or we do Sankirtana. You know, all of these are very clearly demonstrated how we should do. How one should, for example, we come in the morning, we take a bath, we attend Mangalarti at our home or in the temple. These are simple principles, right? Humility. As we know the verse in Shishashtakam, Tranadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Suhishnuna, Amani Namadadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one should have humility. Humility means, an example I can quote is, Gurgoyan Swami was one giving a lecture that imagine you are in the line and you are standing, and what is important is you go and stand in the last of the line, that everyone is front of you. That is a kind of a relation to understand that's humility. Dasosmi means I am ready to serve everyone else in that humble nature. Even when chanting the holy name of the Lord, is how I am supposed to chant, what should be my mood of consciousness. After a certain point, initially there will be anartha nivritti, means you chant, yes, none of us are perfect. Over lifetimes and millions of lifetimes and births we have taken, we have been chanting, and slowly we have come today to this stage. But as we keep chanting more and more, our internal desire should be, my Lord, what can I do to serve your devotees? In what way you want me to serve, rather than just my desire? So that's the humility we have, even when we serve other people. Detachment. Obviously, detachment is important, because as we know that the human body, as what we have taken, a jivatma, is covered. So eventually, all we do is going to go away. So most important thing is, how we can utilize our time as in the human birth to serve the Lord. Now, in terms of abhayam, you know, we say about, it says about having no fear, right? So, it's called fearlessness. You know, the word abhayam means fearlessness. So, Prahlada showed the same fearlessness when he was praying to Lord Narayana. At that point, Hiranyakashipu was trying to do everything to harm him. But the same point is, there is no, you have fearlessness of either physical or moral harm. That is called Mahavishwasam. Of course, it takes time to develop, to have complete faith in the Lord. But that is the meaning of Abhayam. So, one of the other things which is mentioned is Arjavam. It means straightforwardness, you know, in dealing with people. The good qualities, some of them are mentioned, are you have to have straightforwardness in dealing with people. Now, sometimes you may have to manipulate yourselves in certain situations, but in as much as possible when dealing in the sattvic mode, you should be straightforward. You know, sattvika dharma. What is sattvika dharma? Means following that which is given by Vedas. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Upanishads, all of these are coming from the Vedas, which actually is emanating from the Lord's breath. So, He is the one who is giving these principles for us to follow. So, which means, we get up in the morning, we worship this Lord, we worship the spiritual master. As even in this verse, Lord Krishna says that satisfaction and service to the spiritual master is important. Because without service to Guru, all this other service is meaningless. One should know how to surrender to a spiritual master. Be humble enough to him. So, slowly and steadily, if you see the internal qualities as said in this verse, the internal cleanliness, external cleanliness. So, internal is our thought. For that, you have to chant the Lord's name. Because ultimately, all these good qualities only emanate from him. External cleanliness, yes, one has to take a bath, one has to wear clean clothes, one has to chant the name of the Lord, one has to perform austerity. Austerity means sacrifice, some kind of sacrifice. You may get up in the morning, you may tend to not live a particular kind of lifestyle, you may tend to do, you know, go outside, reach to people, you may come do service in the temple. Faith and hospitality is also important, because even Rupa Goswami says that you must have loving exchanges with devotees. So obviously, even in this aspect, it is very important that we have the faith and humility, but also to treat other jivatmas, not just Vaishnavas, even other jivatmas, as in Bhagavad Gita said, Vidya Vinaya Sampinne. So when you see any plant, animal, tree, even a human being, we must have at least that humanity to give them that compassion. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a Vaishnava is a reservoir of good qualities. Because without Vaishnava, one can never advance in spiritual life. One can never get mercy. Just like we are grateful to all are the people who are Siksha Gurus or Diksha Gurus, the same way, even millions of lifetimes we have taken before, we have to be grateful to every one of them. And that is a humility which comes to them. Not just by one's own effort is also important, but also due to blessings of all other people around us, and you know, who are helping us directly or indirectly. As I have said it before in many classes, we fail to recognize that we are very ungrateful to Vayudev, because without him, you can't even breathe or chant. Right? People take Vayudev for granted, like he's a demigod. But without him, how do you breathe? Right? Without Agni, we cook for the Lord, or we do fire sacrifice. Right? Not saying we directly worship him, but one has to have the humility saying, they are helping in the Lord's service. So that humility should be there, that we are not some great person that we started chanting and we became great. No. That's not the way actually. They are actually already there. They have, in fact, in Purusha Suktam it says, Chaksho Suryo Ajayata. Actually, the Lord's eyes and two eyes are the sun and the moon. Without the sun, nothing works in this world actually. Without the moon, no plants, they will not have fruits, will not have even the juice without Soma. So without him, not saying yes, as Vaishnavas, we don't directly worship them, but at least have the humility that, thank you, because of you, at least I'm able to even perform the service of the Lord. Right? I mean, many times, people don't realize that Agni, people, you know, just blow by mouth. Of course, Vaishnavas don't do that, you know. But the point is, that's why we don't allow our spit or anything to touch Agni Dev. Because Agni Dev is considered the mouth where all yagna is given, sacrifice is actually going. Right? So that is the reason why. So these are some of the things which one develops faith through sacrifice, with humility. And that's why even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses so much on humility. Right? Because in the spiritual world, 3/4 is already there, the jivatmas. When we are going there, we are not coming in front of the line. We are waiting there. We should be humble enough to say, what do you want me to do? That should be our mood. Right? Yes. Because, yes, our own desire will be there as jivatma to serve the Lord, to see the Lord. But as it is said, my Lord, if you are giving me the opportunity to at least see you with my eyes, what more is fortunate than that? Right? So that's a different stage, but eventually that's where we come to the realization. So if all of these qualities are present in the Lord, imagine the beauty of the Lord Himself. The beauty is limitless, actually. If a person is with good qualities, for example, in today's world, we say, you know, someone is a nice person. You know, it's natural, right? In not just bhaktas or devotees, I should say Vaishnavas. Even in normal world, you see some people have good, honest qualities or something like that. You admire something, right? Because you should. It's not you need to criticize. Imagine Sri Bhagawan, who has all these qualities already, how beautiful he must be. Not just from a qualitative perspective. What is the depth of the qualities? Right? How beautiful his love must be for us. Because, you see, Lord is unlimitless. His love is also unlimitedless for the Jivatma. So, only because of that is why he is coming down to take incarnation. To give Lord's chanting of the names, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Yes, to relish the pastimes of Radha Krishna, to experience what it feels to have the separation. But ultimately is to give us also the benefit. Just like Srila Prabhupada, why did he take the, you know, pain to come all the way to the United States or even preach in India? Or many other Vaishnava Acharyas too, right? We should be very thankful to all of them, indirectly or directly, that they want to spread the Lord's name. And so that is the reason why Vaishnava, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is a reservoir of all these good qualities which are present. And actually other thing is, if we see about the steadfastness, it's also very important in spiritual life, because we may have difficulties in life, we may go through different scenarios and circumstances, but still having faith, utmost faith, that sacrifice and faith will always make sure, just like Srila Prahlad Maharaj had, that, you know, no matter whatever happens, my faith is always steadfast in you, that I am surrendered to you. And for that, actually, there are about 12 qualities, actually, which kind of demonstrate what, you know, why the jivatmas want to actually surrender to the Lord. Like saushilyam, it's called silam or saushilyam. It's when a person has a lot of superior quality, you know, so which means to move in freely among others. So in this case, you can see that, for example, like when Lord Krishna was there, you could go around, play with him. You know, he would be in different moods in Vrindavana or with his gopas or gopis. You know, so that is one way of showing his freeness to approach him, actually, in this case. The other thing is, you see that in order for that saushilyam to happen, it is just like a mother looks at her child. You know, you must have seen in the animal kingdom, at least, that the lion or a tiger doesn't have hands. So when its child is, you know, in the dirt, it just licks it up. The same way, the Lord also wants to help us. Right? That is what he's doing. He's indirectly actually trying to remove all this. As we say, cheto darpana marjanam, bhavma davagni nirvapanam. But actually that is what he is doing, right? By giving us this holy name through Acharya, through him taking avataram and giving the benefit of us, you know, chanting his name. So he doesn't discriminate, right? Bhagwan never discriminates anyone from getting the effect of the holy name. It's free for everyone, actually, right? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely distributed, you know, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he didn't expect anything in return. Right? Bhagavan never expects actually. I mean, when you say love, love is an exchange. It is not an expectation in return. That's the right word to use. Even we deal with people in family, right? I mean, you love someone, it's not an expectation, right? It will naturally come. That affection will develop. But of course, it takes time. Just like, for example, you can use this. If you don't, initially you may not know someone, and you get to know the person, you will care for more and love the person, right? So the same way, unfortunately, because as Jivatmas, we have been in the material universe forever, we have never understood how to love the Lord. We have forgotten Him. And that's why Prabhupada says, initially when you chant, you remove the anartha nivritti and you purify oneself. One realizes the true nature to how to serve the Lord, actually. So other quality actually, so this is one, coming to Saushilyam and Vatsalyam. The other one is, so in this case, Sauhridam, as I was saying, always seeking welfare of the devotees, right? He's always only wanting our welfare. If he was not wanting welfare, it's like this, the example is, if someone gets angry with someone, I said, okay, I don't want to give you anything. But no matter whatever all Jivatmas do, not just Vaishnavas, the sun still rises, the moon still rises, right? Everything is still functioning. Yes, there may be due to Adi Deva Bhautika, you can say there may be cyclones, or you may be rain and everything. But still, those things are still functioning, right? So it's not like saying, for example, sometimes says, okay, you know, you don't like me, Vayu says I'll stop giving air to breathe. No, that doesn't work like this. People may do it indirectly, that's a different story. But Bhagavan never does it, right? He gives everything for, as it is. So that is why we say that, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prachayati. That means, whatever we get, we first do as an offering to you. Every service you do, it may be a service in the temple, service at home, everything is done as an offering to you. That way, we are not bounded, as Lord would say in the next few verses actually, that one who is not attached to his fruits of the result is what he wants. And that's also important for us, because if one is attached to the fruits of the result, then one will develop karma. That is the reason why there is a never-ending cycle. The time we realize that I don't want, these results are yours, as Krishna said to Arjuna, that you fight, right? The result is for him. The same way we should try to apply it. It may be difficult, but at least as much as possible, one must try to apply this in our daily lives, so that eventually that karma doesn't stick to us. And this is called true detachment. As Prabhupada would also say, right? Detachment doesn't mean just, yes, it's important to have self-control and as it said here, like celibacy, style, silence and steadiness. One must have those strict principles to give up what is not favorable to, following Vaishnava principles. But at the same time, the detachment should also come with a sense of understanding that these are not something Bhagavan would want us to do. Krishna does not want us to do. My spiritual master does not want us to do. Right? Eventually it will come to that. Yes, in the initial stages, one may have to be very strict and stern with oneself, saying, I don't want to associate. I may not want to do certain things which are unfavorable. And eventually a point will come where you will not want to think about those things at all. But for that, one has to, as said, one has to have strong faith. One has to chant the Lord's names. One has to associate with actually bhaktas, you know, who are also thinking this way. And slowly and steadily we come to the platform of, rising above the modes of material nature. Because eventually there is sattva, rajas and tamo, but one must come out of this mode so that one can serve the Lord with pure affection. Because that is all eventually, it's not like Lord is wanting, that is a natural behavior, right? Like in a family when you have someone, you love someone, it's a natural affection. It doesn't need to be told. That's what it is. It will just flow, as Prabhupada said sometimes, that as a river flows naturally, the same way it should flow. One example I use is, if you boil a milk, as I said, if you boil water, it just evaporates. If you boil milk, after some point, it just completely comes up on its own. That should how devotion should be. It should just directly come up. At some point, it should be free flowing. And that is actually the true principle of saying this. And of course, if you see about Audaryam, one of the qualities of the Lord is unparalleled generosity. You know, the way to describe this is no devotee has ever been over favored or not satisfied with the favors granted. So that is the meaning of Audaryam actually. So it's never like Lord favored only one or Lord did not favor the other. Yes, in his past times, he has tried to give as much benefit. One example one can use in a very high sense is even in the Rasa Leela, Lord, all the gopis wanted Krishna. So he expanded himself simultaneously. So no one felt over favored or one felt left out. Even the cows. Actually, Lord would know every cow by name. He would touch every one of them. So no cow was ever felt left out, actually. That is the beauty of Krishna. Right? He never, no bhakta, no jivatma is left out. Even those who are so close to him and those like us who are also aspiring. Even by associating his name and as we chant, we are still close to him. So one cannot say one is left out or something. It is we feel we are left out. It is our own thinking makes us feel that we are left out actually. That is the principle of Audharyam. And actually, very nice, we know Mukundamala Stotra, which is written by Kulasekara Alwar, right? And some of us must have left it, read it actually in this case. And he says that, let me read the verse. So, he says, Nasta dharme navasa nichaye naiva kamo pabhoge yat yat bhava bhavatu bhagwan purva karmanu rupam etat prartham maubhavmatam janma janmantarepi tat padmo ruha yuga gata nischala bhakti rastu. He says, O Lord, filled with the six celebrated qualities, I am not interested in the acquisition of wealth or in the pleasures of other worldly life. I am not attracted by the sensory pleasures at all. Whatever that will happen as a result of my purva karma, let it happen. The only thing I pray is steady and undiminishing devotion at the lotus feet in every one of my births. And that is such a nice player. It actually is, Kulasekara Alwar gives us this example to demonstrate faith actually. Faith is in sense that, yes, because of prarabdha karma and everything else, we may have acquired a particular form, body, karma, difficulty, whatever is there. But what he prays that in every one of my births, I always have the vision of your lotus feet. That is most important to all of us. So that is why in Vaishnava principles, we give so much importance to worshipping the Lord's feet and also to Acharya's lotus feet. Because only through Acharya and Guru we get that mercy. And at the same time, of course, ultimately all of that comes through Bhagawan himself, Sri Krishna. So this is the prayer which Kulasekara Alwar gives in terms of, what we should aspire actually. And then he goes to say, So this verse is also very important because he actually entreats all our senses to only worship the Lord. He says, Jivve kirtaya keshavam murar ripum cheto bhaja shridharam pani dvanda samarchayuchyuta katha strotram dvayatvam shrunu shrinam lokaya lochana dvayahare gacha angriha yugalam Jigra grahana mukunda pada tulasim murdhanam nama adokshajam. He says basically, I want to make sure that I am only worshipping your lotus feet with all my senses. My ears, my eyes, my tongue, my hands, everything should be utilized in your service. This is the most important thing and it starts with mind. That is why we stress so much importance to chanting, right? Chanting the Lord's names, to worshipping his lotus feet, how we should worship him, how we should meditate upon him. When we chant, yes, you concentrate on the Lord's names. When you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. After that, at some point, when you sit, when you read a book, about Lord, when you see the Lord personally, one must also take some time to meditate about His beauty. How beautiful His form is. Sure, material beauty is beauty in the world, but it is perishable. Govindam's beauty is unparalleled. It is limitless. So, it is said that when in the Damodara Leela, so how it was, Mother Yashoda wanted to make sure that Krishna every time wants to get Navaneetam, butter. And imagine the gopas. All they want to do, their livelihood is actually selling milk and butter. And here Krishna is coming and eating everything. So that is His love. Imagine you're doing a business and you have accumulated all this harvest and someone comes and eats it. So, but of course, Lord out of love comes and wants to eat the butter. So what did Mother Yashoda do? She took a very tall pot actually. Because when Damodar Leela was there, Krishna was only this much. He was a baby. So what Mother did? She took a long big pot where they put all the water. But in spite of that, Lord jumped inside and He ate the butter. And that is when Yashoda comes actually after the rope. Because she gets so angry that no matter what I do, my son is coming and eating the butter. I cannot stop him. So that is, but Lord in this pastime, He is wanting to see the love, the vatsalyam of Yashoda. How much He loves me. How far my mother is ready to go to punish me. That is the love He wants to experience. And that is the beauty of the whole pastime actually. Of how Krishna, of course, He goes to the Yamalarjuna trees and He also gives them liberation. And even actually when the Ashwini Kumars, they actually get liberated. They don't want to leave from here because they were enjoying the pastimes. Even as trees, being in Vrindavana, they are enjoying the pastime of the Lord, running around as a baby. So, that is a beauty, right? So, in Rama Avataram, if you see, Rama is always very, a little more formal. That is how the Avataram is, right? Yes, He was also very loving to His bhaktas. But you cannot go in Ramataram and just put your hand around Him and say, come, let's go around and play. No. You have never seen Lord Rama as a baby, right? So, but yes, the beauty of Rama is also described to be extremely, Valmiki has quoted. I cannot remember it, but he is also very, very beautiful. Of course, He is Bhagawan Himself, so as incarnation has come. But Lord Krishna is more informal. As we know, as a baby He comes, He wants to play, He goes with His cowherd boys, He goes with the cows. This is the pastime He's performing. So all of these good qualities, as we say, humility, discipline, Lord also shows them actually. And because as He says in Bhagavad Gita, if He doesn't set an example, then common man will not follow. That is why, acharyas also come. They set example. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict actually, when He was there. Yes, as a householder, yes, He used to go, but once He took sannyasa externally. Internally, yes, with His close associates, it would be a different association. But externally, He would maintain all the forms and rituals what a sannyasa should follow. Because it is very important. One should not give a wrong perception, right? And Sri Bhagawan Himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming to set a standard. How we should chant, how we should associate, what we should do, right? Yes, internally chanting in his intimate moments with all His other devotees, He is showing the true bhavam of why He has taken the avataram and incarnation. So, this is the beauty of the Lord, how Bhagawan wants to actually emanate all these good qualities actually present to all of us. And even if we follow a little bit of them slowly and steadily, and chanting the Lord's name with faith, eventually, we also come to realize the goal is to actually go back to His abode in this lifetime. That should be one's goal. And that can only happen slowly and steadily. So this is little bit of the, in this context of this verse, of how, Lord is coming and telling us that these are the good qualities, what we should do. Initially, one will say these are sattvic qualities and as Bhagavad Gita in chapter 16, Lord says some are demonic qualities which should not be followed. At some point, one should also realize that it's not a question of it's very important actually something to in the last verse actually of this canto. Actually, it's very nicely said that there is no need for a more elaborate description of these good or bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. This is actually the last verse. I mean, just the one sentence of the last verse of this chapter, actually, text 45. So that's the best quality is to transcend material good and evil. That is what it is. Because some people have this question in today's world, right and wrong or good or bad is someone's viewpoint. No, that is material view. That is non-understanding view, actually. According to Shastra, there are certain things which are good and certain things which are not good to be followed. Certain things which are, sattvic, certain things which are rajvic and tamasic. So, of course, this is for a more higher purpose eventually to understand that one should not continuously see everything good or bad, because then you are living your eyes through a filter or color, right? That's not the way, that is what Lord is also saying. Because one as Vaishnavas and devotees should also be very equipoised, right? You can't be walking around in a real world and saying, okay, this is my, I mean, to come down to a practical aspect, many of us work, you know, we have to go around and work. But you don't put this filter around every time seeing people. No. The best thing to think about the verse is, you know, as he said, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampine. Give equal respect as humanity to everyone, as Jivatma. That is at least the first step, right? That is the most important thing. Because if you don't see that way, then you cannot, you can never be able to, eventually if a person needs a help or he is wanting to hear about the Lord, one will never be able to approach him itself. Right? That is why Lord says not to constantly think as good as bad, because as Vaishnavas, what we realize is, my Lord, I was like this maybe in my previous birth or millions of birth ago. Due to your mercy and due to spiritual master's mercy, I have improved like this. So hope that I can also pass this knowledge to someone else that way. So that is why in that context actually it is, I just wanted to at least say that point when it will be read in the next verse, that just read again. There is no need for a more elaborate description of good or bad qualities, since to constantly see good and bad is itself a bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good and evil. So I will end today's class. Maybe if there is any other questions or comments people would like to add or pass. So
you were mentioning how Krishna was very naughty as a child. At the same time, you said that God shows the example that, you know, everybody follows the Lord's example. So he has to set a good example. But as a child, he seemed very naughty, a bad boy. Especially when he came back as Lord Chaitanya, little Lord Nimai, he would go into the Ganges, and when people try and chant their Gayatris, he would grab them and by the feet and pull them under the water. He would lock people inside their houses so they couldn't get out. Because, you know, in India they have these locks that you can lock from both sides. And urinating Brahmin's food and steal bananas. I mean, it was like a terror child. So why would God be a bad boy?
So, you see, it's a very interesting question. And the best way to, Lord actually owns everything. Right? Just like the same example we take of Gopi Vastrahanadharahari, right? People say, how come Lord did this? Actually, there is only one Purusha in this whole universe. Everyone is three. The supreme enjoyer is only one, Sri Bhagavan. Everyone else is actually secondary. It is his. So, from that aspect, in regard to the example, some people will question that, Why Lord actually did, why would he take Gopi's Vastra Dhanahari? Or even when we Tulsi Saligrama Vyuha, the question comes is, how come he tricked Tulsi in this case to come, you know, when the demon was gone? Right? The answer to that question is, Lord is actually everyone's husband. He is actually everyone's husband. Yes, this is the actual correct philosophical understanding. He is the master of everyone. He owns the whole universe. We are, as Prabhupada will say, we think we are the proprietors of everything. But we cannot even own anything. Yes. Now coming to the context of Lord also has pastimes and he may do certain things, in his childhood pastimes, which may kind of not look, may look very mischievous compared to what it is. But the Lord also wants to, you see, the best way to say this is, there are only certain snippets we have of what is given to us from Shastra and what is given, right? Every moment of the Lord is also not recorded as it is, right? So the point is, Lord comes, he may want to teach, for example, some of those Brahmanas a lesson. I'm not speculating. And in this case, there is a purpose. See, Lord doesn't do anything out of whim and a fancy. There is a purpose for everything the Lord does. Unlike us, and I could talk about myself too, we may do certain things for our own brain, our own desire, and we are bound by our karma, past and previous karma. Lord is not bound by karma. Lord is not bound. Yes, he follows certain things, and in certain examples, for example, like even when Lord Rama was cursed saying, you know, I should go to the forest for certain, yes, he will follow certain things. So, he will follow those things in terms of principles. But usually a child is considered to be a naughty, a child in the young age. We don't look for example, the way to look at that standard is Vamana Avataram. When he came as a child, dwarf child. At that point, the moment he was born itself, you know, he was as a sage. Right? In the Krishna, when he came as Lord Krishna or Nimai, he is going to act as a normal child. So that is his behavior. One can't take a standard setting. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went from a grahastha ashrama to a sannyasa ashrama, at that point, yes, he immediately said, this is the norm of the society. Right? Now, there are certain avatarams or even other acharyas or nitya siddhas have come down. Even when as a child, for example, they have, you know, the moment the child is born, like in this case, is completely devoted to the Lord. Right? There are many examples of these. So in this pastime when Lord has come as Nimai, he wants to enjoy. So he is not, at that young age, he's not question of setting an example. It's only after a certain point where he says, I'm going to set an example as a householder, right? Or he has to go, when his mother comes to seize him, he says, I'll see you, you know, in spite of that. So these are the things. But the higher end example to understand is, the Lord is actually proprietor of everything. Right? We tend to think as right or wrong because we only think of doing something out of our own desire. Lord does it for a purpose actually. That is the reason. Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Vrindaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.